Welcome to Up the Villa podcast and welcome to the start of a massive week for Aston Villa. It is huge. And as you can see from the thumbnail, we are in tunnel vision mode. Like I said yesterday on the player ratings, I don't care about anybody else, as the chant goes. All I care about is Aston Villa. So with that in mind, there's going to be no chat of if they do this or they do this. What if they do this and they do that? Doesn't matter in my head. Aston Villa, win the next game. We are in Europe. And that is the only thing that's in my mind, Unai's mind, and the players' mind on this massive week ahead. It's just huge. And Unai spoke about it in his interview after the game, saying that, you know, that they were talking about wanting to be in the picture come the last game. But we are more than in the picture. We are in the frame. That it's ours to lose now. So that is the best position we could possibly be in, because it's just down to us. And I think you can't be in a better position than that. So hopefully we're having a real good tactical debrief over the whole week there. They're watching videos on how to beat Brighton. And that's just all we've got to do. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere on Sunday. Can't wait for it. But before that, we've got to do our debrief from the Liverpool game. We've got loads of content coming this week. Football phone-ins. We've got the whole lot coming. So there's loads of content in the build-up to this week. So let's have a light talk on the debrief. I know a lot of you love the debrief. A lot of you ask for the debrief. When's it out? When's it out? So in the match reaction, I asked for, I think, 750. And I think we got 1,000 likes. So for this debrief, let's go big. Let's go 900. Let's see if we can get 900 likes on this video. So Man City have won the league. Brighton have sort of got Europa League. So it does look like it is just the conference that we are going for. But I'm absolutely buzzing to be going for it. So, Hannah, what did you make of the game at the weekend?
Well, I think when people look forward to this episode, they definitely don't look forward to my tactical analysis, because it's never as good as you guys. But what I can do is speak on pure emotion and pure passion. And I think it was just another very spirited performance this weekend against a Liverpool side. You know, who really goes to Anfield and thinks they're going to get a guaranteed 3 points? It's such a hard place to go. And I think we rocked up, and, well, apart from Justin, I think we rocked up, and especially in the first half, I was just beaming with pride. Again, watching from home, listening, reading from home, you can only pick up so much. But from what I was seeing, we looked so organised, so calm. And, you know, we miss a penalty early on, but it doesn't knock us. We go and we get a goal soon after, which is massive, because easily, you know, the way football goes, you miss a penalty, you go on and you concede two or three afterwards. But we kept in the game, we got ahead. And at halftime, I thought, oh my God, we're going to do it. I think, again, we had some great performances. Apart from Mings getting booked and that VAR check, I just thought it was brilliant. The commentators on where I was watching were again singing his praises, and it was nice to finally be at a point where we're just hearing so much praise for our players, especially someone like Mings that really did get absolute pelters, didn't he, for a long time, from not just the fan base but from external noise. So I think we did well. The second I saw Firmino coming on, his last Anfield game, I did have a feeling that he may score. They were piling the pressure on, and like I say, Anfield is such a tough place to go. They don't really lose at home, and they are pushing to keep up with that top four pack. So it was disappointing to concede, and that, you know, we did have our backs against the wall for the last bit, but overall we were so organised, and I think Unai Emery will be proud of this team no matter what. Even if we did essentially drop a couple of points, I think it was still, you know, we would have taken a point before the fixture. I certainly would have. I was happy with the draw. and 3 points against Spurs. If you said we would take four from those two fixtures, I would have been happy. And again, it's all now down to us on the 28th of May. And never in my wildest dreams did I think towards, you know, the end of October that we'd even be thinking about it. And even when we started to hit good form in the new year and it was all going really well, you kind of thought, oh, we might fizzle out a bit, or, you know, 10th place may still be where we finish. 8th place would be amazing. And look where we are now. I'm beaming. And if anyone saw my piece I wrote early in the week, you would know just how much this means to me and like so many other Villa fans at the minute, where football is just such a lifeline. And to have your club performing so well and you're so proud of your players and your manager and everything around the club, we're going into this final week of the season just sky high, and that atmosphere on Sunday is going to be electric. Hopefully we've got some of this sunny weather and we get to Europe, and it's just going to be incredible. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm buzzing for it. I am. This is what gets me going, these big occasions, these Villa Park absolutely rocking. And you know, you saw from like Liverpool, like in that second half, they were literally like gung-ho. It was literally like just a siege, weren't it? They just thought, we got nothing to lose, go for it. And you know, they were sucking that ball in the end. And I think that's what Villa Park is going to be like on Sunday. You know, that when that ground gets going, like some players can like wilt, and we've seen that this season. Like when it gets loud and we're playing really well, you know, I saw it last time at Villa Park against Spurs. Like they didn't know what was going on, Spurs. We were that dominant. It was absolutely fantastic. But yeah, touching on the commentator, you know, and to be fair, when I was listening to it, it was like, it was bigging up Mings. And then 1 minute it was like, yeah, but it shouldn't even be on the pitch. And then the big Mings up and it'd be like, it shouldn't even be on. And it was just so annoying that the fact that it just literally felt like the commentary was just willing and wanting Liverpool to get a goal and do well in that game. So yeah, it was really annoying to listen to on the commentary. Justin, you were there, weren't you? I was indeed. Crammed in your little rail seat, weren't you?
I had a rail seat to better when I put them in the whole team. They're a disgrace. They're great to stand on, to be fair. It's the first time I've experienced it. And, you know, everybody's standing up, so you've got something nice to lean on. And, you know, it helps when you score. You don't get that crushing. You're tied to a side, you still get it. But forward and backwards, you don't get. But the leg room is horrendous in them. You know, they should just disperse with seating, really, and have row seats for a standing area. But that's a separate issue. What a bloody day Saturday was. Absolutely fantastic. You know, I've been to, luckily in my time, been to many away games, including seeing us win at Anfield. But I can't remember many better days than that. It was phenomenal. In the Arcles before, had a couple of pints, watched the game, you know, shoulder to shoulder with Liverpool fans, which was a nice experience talking to them. And then when the result happened, when they scored against Spurs, it was Brentford, it was, you know, brilliant. And then when that result became a fait accompli, you know, we went into the ground then, almost thinking this is a free hit today. You know, that Spurs weren't going to get ahead of us. It was going to go down to the last game, regardless of the result that we got at Anfield. And but boy, weren't we good. Weren't we good that first half. We've seen some really good performances this season. The Newcastle springs to mind. First half against Spurs was very good. But the way at Anfield, you know, a team that's won seven on the bounce, littered with quality players, and we easily stood up to them, easily matched them, easily went toe-to-toe with them. And that's the glorious thing about this Villa side now. We're watching a team that can compete against anybody, and that's all you ask for in you know, as a football fan. And we're no longer competing with the bottom teams and the mid-table teams. We're now going toe-to-toe with the big boys of the league. And it was beautiful to see. You know, first half, we more than matched them. Second half, they came at us. It was always going to happen, but it was a different type of performance in the second half. And we were even, that was fantastic to see, the bite, the tenacity, the heart, the willingness. the shit housing of it, which was phenomenal. Absolutely loved Emi Martinez. You know, all I heard at, when I walked out the ground was Emi Martinez this, Emi Martinez that. He should be disgraced. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. One thing I will say is I hope the atmosphere at Villa Park on Sunday is a lot better than the one at Anfield, because it was a woeful atmosphere there. That thing, you'll never walk alone. Great. Really loud. 88 minutes of absolutely nothing. Sat still, not even talking, nothing. And then they scored. It sounds really great. But it's not a good atmosphere there. We will be flying out of the blocks on Sunday. Villa Park will be a joy to behold when then teams walk out. I know there's a bit of a Twitter thing starting about trying to get people there. I think it's about an hour and a half before kickoff against Brighton to get, you know, them to welcome the team in, because they arrive on the coach now. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do as well, to give them that little bit of a pep before they come out. But as far as Saturday goes, you couldn't have much better. It would have been lovely to hang on for the win. Wasn't meant to be. A draw was good enough on the occasion to give it, put it in our hands. That's all we could ask for. If 6 months ago you'd have said we needed to win our last game to get Europe, not one other fan in the world would have said they wouldn't want that. So, fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
And for a one-off game, for a one-off final game to achieve something, there's no better man for it to manage this team. Is there, Ryan?
No way, Jose. Unai Emery. It's just masterclass.
No way, Unai.
No way, Unai. That's better, yeah. No, he's better. But, yeah, another masterclass yesterday, wasn't it, Robinson? Another masterclass, yeah. You know. 1 minute we're 4-2-3-1, then we're 4-4-2, then we're 4-4-1-1, then we're 6-2-2. It was brilliant, and to a man, the players were fantastic. The players were fantastic. It was brave enough to rock up with our high line and use it to effect. We played it perfectly yet again, and hats off to the players for that, because, you know, to go and do that at Anfield, a team that's pushing for a Champions League place, you know, they were going for it, weren't they? They all wanted it, but, you know, we turned up and we stopped them doing it. You know, we had our own agenda and we were brave. Everything we wanted, everything that we said in the preview, we wanted us to go there with confidence, go there and get what we want and what we deserve. And they went there and did it, didn't they? And tactically brilliant, yeah. We targeted that left-hand side where Trent would come inside. You know, the balls that are being whipped in by McGinn and Louise down that left-hand side for Watkins to run onto caused so much trouble. Luca Dean coming in as well, just give that extra bit of bite in that sort of midfield where Trent was, backed up with Louise and Ramsey. I just felt we were brilliant. And we got dealt a few injuries and we had to shuffle it around, but, you know, it was so organised. And Emery on the sidelines, he was just relentless, wasn't he? He was relentless. You know, this we're seeing all the time, aren't we? His gestures. And he's just on it. And to a man, we were magnificent. I thought we handled the pressure so well. It did sound loud on the telly, though, just in, you know, that closing stages. And mentally, the players sort of handled that really well.
The goal was very loud, and when the ten minutes went up, yes, the atmosphere ramped up then, but considering they're 1-0 down, they're going for Champions League, it was woeful. 90 minutes, honestly. Yeah. Terrible.
And we just remained rock solid. You know, teams would fold under that, wouldn't they? But not us. Not where we want to go and what we want. It's...
You know, one thing that I'd say about, you know, like the folding thing, and you know, it's weird now because you always have to go, like, years ago, you know, like back in the, you know, like what would normally happen with a Villa side is, what would happen is when we are under the cosh, we are under the cosh, it is chaotic. It is like a hand grenade going in the box, isn't it? You know, when we were playing against teams like Liverpool, we've got bodies going everywhere. But now, because we have like a defensive shape, that's just like us having an attacking shape. We're just as comfortable with that six at the back across the back line as we are playing sort of like 4-2-2-2 or 4-4-2. So I think the players, when we do have to sort of go into that back six or whatever formation we're shifting into, it doesn't ever feel like it is chaotic because it feels like it's a formation we play. Do you think so, Ryan?
Yes, I do. And I'm glad they've got it under control because my blood pressure was absolutely soaring. You know, I'm watching the game at home on my own and I did not sit down. The pacing that I did around my living room all game, you know, I couldn't sit down. I couldn't relax. It was it was stressful. It was stressful. But the players just handled it so well. And Mings, oh my God, the interceptor, intercepted everything, headed everything, cleared everything. McGinn as well. And you talk about this last day and a cup final and win. What two better players to have in your side? Playoff final, the pair of them have been there. West Ham away when we needed a result to stay up. These two know what it takes on the last day of the season when you need that result. And to have that in your spine, along with Emi Martinez, that just shithoused all the way through that game, did exactly what we needed. You know, you can't just like get the ball and play it as quick as you like. You need to soak it up, and there's no better player than that. And he pushed the boundaries to a millimetre. He got that yellow card, and he still pushed it and pushed it. His timing was spot on. Louise, Ramsey, the link-up for the goal, the gorgeous delivery, the finish, the celebration. But you could run through every single player because they were absolutely magnificent. It was a magnificent performance, yet... For me, no, I got man of the match. Strange, but there you go.
What?
Yeah, he was.
He did Premier League man of the match, yeah.
What? Absolutely ridiculous.
Right, let's have a look at some of the stats then. So, I mean, someone get Klopp a pack of tissues or something because it's just absolutely a joke. So, XG, Aston Villa, better XG. 1.35 to Liverpool's 0.75. We had 34% possession. We had 6 shots, 3 on target, 2 off target. Fouls, pretty similar. They had 4 offsides. Big chances, Villa had 3, Liverpool had 1. Big chances missed, Villa had 2, Liverpool had 0. Passes 267 for Villa, 510 for Liverpool, 67% passing accuracy for Villa, 84 for Liverpool. Possession lost, Liverpool lost it more times than us, 164 times. Total duels won, Villa won more duels, Liverpool won more aerial duels. Aston Villa made 29 tackles, 15 interceptions and 38 clearances. So that's a testament to the whole of that back line, whole of that defensive unit at Aston Villa, because that is just... Go on.
I think 14 of their interceptions were Mings, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the probable result based on XG would have gone in Aston Villa's favour at 48%. Match dominance, Liverpool in the red, Villa in the blue. Shots with XG, again, Liverpool, red, Villa, blue. You've got the shot map there, so Liverpool had slightly more shots. This was Aston Villa's average positions from the game, so a little bit more structured, but you can still see the defensive shape of the whole team. Everybody's where you'd really expect them to be. You've got Liverpool's average positions as well. If I can just rotate it, you get a better view of that. So this was Liverpool's. Obviously, they were pushing a little bit more, so they're a little bit higher up the football pitch. Aston Villa's passing network doesn't look as intricate as what it normally does, but what you can see from this is that the ball was going into Louise, straight into Ramsey. Ball was going into McGinn, straight into Watkins. So you can still see a pattern of how we were trying to play. We were trying to get it quickly into Ramsey and Watkins, who were then going to be able to sort of break through the lines. So, you know, not too bad of a passing network. We'd like it a little bit more intricate, etc. But, you know, it is what it is. This is Liverpool's passing network. Pretty much what we expected. Everything going into Trent, going into Salah. And then that's it for the passing network. So, I mean, we're all just absolutely over the moon that we're actually taking it into this last day. So, Ryan, what are you expecting at Villa Park on Sunday then?
Sunshine, beers, and Europe. That's what I'm expecting. It's gonna be some occasion, isn't it? It really is. The whole build-up, looking forward to this week. I do wish it was now. I do wish we were going right now, but we will continue to ramp up the content and the belief that we can go and grab this European place. You know, it's not an easy game. You know, Brighton are a top team. It's not a foregone conclusion. We're still going to have to be at it, but it's not the 11 people on the pitch. It's Emery on the side. It's us in the crowd. It's going to be a whole club effort. Every single person associated with this club, if you're at the game, if you're not, around the world, whatever, it's a whole club. Get behind the Villa, everyone behind them. And Villa Park's just going to be an absolute cauldron. It's going to be a cauldron of noise, electricity. Oh, it's going to be wild. It is going to be wild. And I can't wait. I'm absolutely buzzing, absolutely buzzing to get in that ground. You know, even the concourse, the build-up, going to the pub, the whole place is just going to be a hive of buzziness. And it's going to be absolutely brilliant. And game 38, who'd have thought it would come down to this? A cup final, a one-off game. And like you say, Luke, tunnel vision. Don't need to worry about anybody else. Don't need no favours off anyone. Don't need Leeds to beat Tottenham, City to beat Brentford. It's all in our own hands. We win, we get Europe. European nights under the lights at Villa Park. European away game. It's all there. The carrot's dangled. And as a club, as a collective, let's go and get it.
Yeah, I mean, it is, like I said at the start, it's absolutely massive. I can't tell you how big of a deal it is, because this club is designed to be in Europe. You know, if you talk to fans from maybe older than us, I mean, older than me anyway, you know, some fans have seen us lift the European Cup, they've seen us be successful, etc. You know, you've got fans like Hannah who have... Can you even remember us playing in Europe, Hannah?
Nope, not at all.
You know, what we're about to embark on, something for you, is something you've never seen before then, really.
No, I think that's why I'm giddy. And I just, even thinking back to kind of the last two seasons where we've had Premier League safety, but we've kind of bobbed around mid-table, and it's just felt like, are we ever going to get there? Are we ever going to reach those days of like those glory days again? And I just did not think it would be this season. I did not think. I think I put something in the group chat like over the weekend about the fact that the Brighton game is essentially going to be the biggest game in our recent history, bar perhaps the playoff final, in terms of like the monetary value it had and getting us back in the Premier League. But in terms of like a one-off game and the opportunity it will give us, I can't think of another game that's had so much weight on it, and like a positive weight of, oh my God, look at what we can actually achieve. But no, going back to sort of the best years of Aston Villa's recent history, sort of between 2006 to 2010, you know, I was 6 to 10 years old. So it was like, it wasn't even like on my radar at the time. So most of my, like, Villa history.
Justin's getting uncomfortable because he feels proper old now.
He's feeling proper old. But Justin, at least you've seen some good Aston Villa. You know, I may have a few years on you, but they've not been good years. They've not been good years at all.
I tell you what, for fans of your age, it's something that's going to be phenomenal. Hopefully we can do it. Something to really look forward to. But for fans of my age and older that have seen it and been there, done it, and experienced the European nights at Villa Park, I'm just as excited as you are. I feel like a little kid again. You know, I feel like next season, with those European nights to look forward to, those Thursday nights, walking down Villa Park. And it's weird because it's just a game of football. It's exactly the same as any other game of football. But it's just different. The feeling is different. The vibe is different. I can't even put it into words. I'm stuck for words. It's special. It's really special. Any football game for me under the lights at Villa Park is brilliant. You know, when you walk up them steps and you see them lights on that green pitch highlighting and they come out, it's special. But the European nights are something different. They are phenomenal events. And I think it's a competition we can also thrive massively in as well. It's one we can really, I think, mark down that we could really go far in, you know, in it and to the real latter stages of it. So Sunday really is something that, you know, we've as you've said, we've over the last few years, we've had some monumental last day games, you know, the playoff final, the West Ham away game. And this one is in that category, isn't it, of taking us to the next level. And what it brings, it doesn't just bring European football, but it brings the chance for us to develop at a much quicker rate than we were trying to. You know, the players we can attract, the way it pushes our name back into the forefront of British football again. You know, we then become a real force again within the game, something that I think I'm a biased Villa fan, obviously, but we deserve to be talked about with the best teams in this country. And the pride I get now from watching that team compete against anybody and what we're going to see over the next few years, I just think
as well, it's not just getting in Europe and playing against the teams. It's everything else that it brings. It brings a presence for a start. It brings a presence to European football, doesn't it? That, oh, Aston Villa, they're in Europe. You know, I mean, the Europa Conference, you know, some fans might think, okay, it's just like Europa Conference. It's not that big of a deal. But it's a bigger deal when you get to the back end of the tournament, when you start playing the big sides from Italy, like Fiorentina. Like, they're a huge club in Italy. Like, they're massive. So,
Look at the West Ham dressing room the other day. You see the scenes in there? They're all singing. Tell me that it doesn't mean anything to them players. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. Like, even me as a fan, I'm like, okay, like we play in the League Cup and the FA Cup. I want to be playing more games. I want to be on this pod 24/7. Do you know what I mean? I want to be doing Europa Conference preview, match reaction, fan cam, predicted lineup, press conference. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just, do you know what I mean? It's massive for whichever way you look at it. And I think, yes, we've got to do the job first. We've got to get into it. But it's absolutely huge. So before we go, we'll touch on the relegation battle then. Ryan, where's your head at relegation battle then? Who is going down? So there's a big game tonight. You've got Newcastle and Leicester. West Ham have beat Leeds yesterday, Sunday. So where's your head at? Are Leeds gone?
I think they might be, you know. Because if I was a Leeds fan, I'm thinking West Ham played midweek. There's all on the beers in the dressing room. What better chance to catch them cold? But 3-1 defeat. Don't know. But then they're at home. We know what the atmosphere is like at Elland Road. It's a big game against Tottenham and it's a must win. It's a must win for them. Who have Everton got last day? Sorry.
Bournemouth at home.
Bournemouth.
Oh, God.
The thing is for Leeds.
I think Leeds are gone. I think they're on them.
Because the thing is for Leeds, even if Leeds win, Everton win, I think Everton can draw, can't they, as well? Because their goal difference is a lot better than Leeds. So that Everton can even draw. Yeah, so...
And then Leicester have got Newcastle away and West Ham at home. I can't see them getting nothing at Newcastle. Newcastle is just going to be electric as well, isn't it? So I can just see them like cementing their Champions League place, even though it's pretty much cemented, isn't it? All bar a few goals. But I think Leicester and Leeds are goners.
Do you think so too, Justin?
Yeah, I think Leeds will win, but I don't think it'll be enough. I think Leeds will win and do us a favour, although I think we'll win anyway, so it'll be irrelevant. Yeah, I think the bottom three haven't, quite frankly, they haven't done enough, have they? Southampton have been probably the worst team in the league this season. Leicester not far off it, really, consistency-wise for the whole season. And Leeds, they've just conceded too many goals. They've been in free fall since Bielsa left. They haven't been able to get a manager that can do anything with them. So I think they're done. I think that Sam Allardyce, last throw of the dice, has failed miserably. If I'm honest, I don't think he's been able to get a tune out of him. You know, not the way that, say, Roy Hodgson did manage to come in at Palace and, you know, a manager that knew all about them. You know, maybe they, it was too big a gamble bringing a manager that knew nothing about the club and everything, whereas the Hodgson gamble was a very good calculated risk, really, because he knew everything about the club, didn't he? So, yeah, I think the bottom.
Do you think now, with hindsight, would there be any better sticking with Jesse Marsh?
Oh, do you know what? I thought about this today as well. Although they were losing games with Jesse Marsh, like, what's happened to that Gonto? Like, it's literally disappeared. Like, I watched him against West Ham and he was like freestyling air shots, just like playing air guitar football, but like air, you know what I mean? Like, just swiping.
Ashley Young ruined him, didn't he? Did you hear his comments about Ashley Young saying that he was one of the worst fullbacks to play against because he just got in your head? He was constantly talking. Loved that. Absolutely love that. And look, he hasn't recovered, has he? He's not recovered.
No, so it does look like those are the teams to go down then. So, right. So we've got some news. We've got some news coming. Big news for the channel, which is great. We've also got some concepts, which I'm going to tell you about what are happening over the course of the summer. We'll tell you about them next week as well. So we've got all of our content coming this week. I've got a watch along on my other channel tonight for Newcastle Leicester. We've got football phoning out tomorrow. Then we've got all of the usual content, opposition previews, match preview, predicted lineup, press conference. That'll be coming before the game. And then we've got a European party, which will be next week as well. So you can all come to that. enjoy the content. We are so close now to 12,000 subscribers, which is just mental. So I reckon we'll get over the line this week on those. So thanks everyone for their support and watching and commenting and everything like that. We will have a season review next week as well, so that'll be a big episode. And
when
then
we'll see how good our predictions were at the start of the season.
Yeah. I think I remember. I've got one pretty decent, I think. I think I said Liverpool will get fifth. I'm sure I said that.
I said Villa will get seventh.
Yeah, I think I said Villa will get in the League Cup final as well.
That's going to be an interesting episode.
Yeah, so we will have flashbacks. Cheers, everyone, for watching, and we'll see you in a couple of days or something. Up the Villa.
No problem. Up the Villa.
Yeah.